Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to our breakout session regarding taking a look at how the LDS Church uses dynamic CRM and the center of excellence that we have built around our CRM practice here. My name is Sean O'Gwynn.
I'm Jeremy Larson.
And we are part of the team, the core team, that is responsible for the CRM practice at The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Really the core team that is responsible for all CRM solutions that are built across all of the departments that the church actually manages. So real quick, a brief history of our use at the church of CRM. 5 or 6 years ago, a couple of departments began to experiment with a new technology, they thought, right, called CRM, and they began to play with it. Initially, it was your traditional case management call center type solutions. We had our global service center, the center with all of the operators responsible for providing technical assistance for many of the ecclesiastical authorities around the world. They would call in, and of course, tickets would be created, troubleshooting was taking place. As resolutions were performed, we'd get knowledge bases and we'd help people solve problems more quickly. A couple other solutions were built by other departments here and there. Quickly, we became siloed and fractured. It was obvious to folks like Jeremy, myself, and Ray Babcock, another member of our team, that we did not have a strategy, that the church was increasing its interest in the use of CRM, but that various independent vendors were being leveraged, solutions were not connected in any way, and there just was no strategy behind this. With that said, a proposal was created, an executive sponsor was found, and we were given an opportunity to put together or create a center of excellence that would allow us to, instead of creating CRMs in a tactical manner, create a strategy around this that would allow us to create economies of scale around our use of the solution. With nearly 16 million members around the world, 30,000 congregations in 160 different countries, 75,000 full-time proselyting missionaries, those young men and young women many of you see knocking at doors all around the world, 8,500 volunteer humanitarian or service missionaries around the world, as well as dozens and dozens of other service interests that we have, it became increasingly important for the church to understand the relationship that the church has with not only the people that they're serving, but with the entities that they're working with, and understanding the relationship between the people, places, things, and events that really make up the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hence an increasing interest in using a CRM, because that's a sweet spot of such a solution. So, with the creation of the Center of Excellence and a negotiation of an enterprise license agreement, use of the CRM exploded among the 23 departments of the church.
So, just to kind of show you, this slide is I stole from a slightly dated slide deck. This is just a sampling of the number of CRM solutions we've since built. Each one of these bullet items up here is a different CRM org. We've got a lot of CRM going on now. And to Sean's point, it was all due to the fact that we were able to really leverage the CRM to surface all of our the relationship management, right? Understanding how a member is related to this other thing. And as you look through it, we've got our perpetual education fund, which we'll talk to in a little bit, in a little more detail, but we've got things around welfare, we've got our security department leveraging it, we've got public affairs leveraging it, we've got our call centers, we've got just a ton of different solutions using the CRM. There's one that caught my eye that I want to talk to, is the BYU schools. So the University of BYU, we've got three different groupings of BYU. You've got BYU Provo in Utah, BYU Idaho, and BYU Hawaii. We haven't lit up anything on Hawaii yet, but both Provo and Idaho are, again, part of the church and are able to leverage the same licensing, and we are going gangbusters, especially with BYU Idaho. I was telling Sean earlier, I don't know if Ray Babcock's in the room, but he's our primary guy to go out to work with the BYU Idahos, and he was there doing some training and demoing of what CRM could do for them, he had an individual approach him and said, "I want a CRM." And his response was, "What do you mean you want a CRM? What do you want it to do?" "I don't know. I've just heard all these other departments talking about how cool it is and what it's done for them. I want one." Okay, we kind of need some more business requirements behind that, but that's the kind of adoption we're seeing in these different areas and the successes we're actually experiencing. So moving forward, in order to support this many solutions, we've had to build out a pretty beefy infrastructure to support all of that. Sean mentioned we had a fair amount of sprawl with our CRM solutions, with several departments coming together. Some of them started with CRM 4.0, a handful of them with CRM 2011, and as we built our center of excellence, we had create an enterprise 2011 environment, CRM 2011 environment. So we did that, and then we want to expose that outside the internet to the internet. And we had some customers that did, some customers that didn't want to be exposed, and so we had an IFD environment and we had a non-IFD environment, and we still had some of our siloed areas. So we had a lot of servers going on, and then CRM 2013 came out. So we had yet another deployment. And then CRM 2015 comes out. No, we're not gonna do that. Let's hold back a minute. And then CRM 2016 comes out. All right, fine, we gotta do something here. Cloud is an option, we're looking into it. Politically, it wasn't right, the expedient to move forward yet. But we had a multiple 2011s, a 2013 environment, and a 2016 environment now. And when I say an environment, I mean we've got a dev lane, a test lane, a stage lane, and a production lane with multiple servers to back up each one of those. We had, nearly 300 servers between physical and virtual to support this environment. This is not exactly a sustainable model. Hence the reason we are excited to be moving towards the cloud and leveraging CRM Online. However, with that comes a handful of challenges. I've made several poor assumptions that it's going to be exactly the same as on-premise. Not so much. We'll cover that a little bit later in some of the lessons learned and pain points. But as we move forward, Sean talk about some of our common data sources.
Yeah, so part of our strategy in creating the Center of Excellence was to take advantage of common data sources, kind of like I said, in a way that would give us economies of scale. We would write reusable code that we could then repurpose from solution to solution to solution. It would really expedite the creation of our CRM solutions for these various departments. So a couple of the big ones for us, two primary databases that we use, we call them CMIS and CDAL. CMIS is the Church Member Information System. This is the database, it's an Oracle database today, that is basically responsible for containing all of the membership information around the world. So there's over 16 million records in this database, and it's constantly changing. As people are being baptized, people are being born, and people are passing away. And so we see that there's quite a bit of activity in that database. We integrate into that database to provide us essentially near real-time synchronization between many of the solutions that require us or the departments to know how they are servicing particular constituencies of the church, whether that be by age, whether it be by geography, whatever it might be. And that is then constantly being updated so that the CRMs are being automatically updated as well. The other database, the other system of record, so to speak, that we leverage quite a bit is what we call CDAL, which is the Church Directory of Leaders. Now, the church is a lay ministry church. It's a church of volunteers. And so as a member of the church, you are given an opportunity to be volunteered to serve your brothers and sisters who are a part of your congregation, which means that for various periods of time, say maybe a few months, it may be 3 to 5 to 10 years, you are given positions of responsibility that help then run either the ecclesiastical side or the temporal side of your congregation, essentially providing that service to those around you, which means, though, then there is a constant churn, if we take a look at this globally, of people who are serving in various positions. So it was important for us, as we are now creating and trying to understand, again, the relationship between the people, places, things, and events, and creating, essentially, reportable data, right? Data that's actionable by church leadership and executive management, a way to understand patterns, right, or to understand the needs in particular areas, that we are updated when those changes take place. So again, a common integration for us. Another one of the common integrations is around what we call LDS account. So years ago, it was decided that we were going to become our own identity service provider. And so we built something called LDS account. There are probably close to 6 million LDS accounts, I think, that are
sure,
maybe 5-ish.
What?
Oh, there's 15 million LDS accounts now that are being
used.
So essentially, there's an LDS account for every member. And it contains much of the profile type data that is associated with a member of the church. It would include their first name and last name, et cetera, as well as perhaps where they live, their email address. They could update that. It's your profile for the church when you're logging into church services, right? So that's a common integration that we've got. Obviously, as CRM, as a Microsoft shop, we have extensive integrations into our Exchange services. So as our CRM solutions are sending messages out as part of those workflows, we do it that way. We actually are a MuleSoft house now, right? And we use MuleSoft for the enterprise messaging exchange capabilities as well as the API management capabilities. We actually ourselves have registered the CRM as essentially a CRM as a service, and the APIs are now available through MuleSoft. We've got our facilities department now, which is leveraging us essentially as CRM as a service. We are the Rolodex of vendors, and we are providing that integration via web service via MuleSoft. We have MMS, which is our missionary database. This is the database that manages all of the 75,000 missionaries that are serving in various parts around the world. Again, a lot of churn as missionaries are being called, coming into service, and those who have served for their 18 months to 2 years are essentially issuing out, right? They fulfilled their service and they're now being released and becoming part of the general population of the church. And so we see a lot of integrations with that, and we'll talk actually about one of the solutions we've built that has a significant integration there. Anything else, Jeremy, you want to mention?
I think we're good on that one.
Awesome.
So talking a little bit further, in addition to our multiple data sources that we're working with, we've got a lot of other integrations. We've already talked about the MuleSoft stuff, but we've got FileNet that we're integrating with which is an IBM solution for enterprise document management and those types of things. There are mostly, I'm not trying to, I guess, get into that, but any kind of regulated documents, anything that has retention policies and extremes. So in our adoption stuff, for example, and in other areas where we've got 100-year retention requirements through regulatory issues. Back to the LDS account thing, one point I wanted to point out is it's a non-Active Directory. And so as we suddenly start moving into Azure, CRM Online, that is another area where, we've got to figure out how to get all of these identities replicated into the cloud. We've selected Salesforce Marketing Cloud as our email marketing engine, and we've been leveraging that as a way to send out our millions of emails. Actually, I don't know the stat on that. Is that monthly?
Yeah, we do about 150 million emails a year right now.
And then that's all running through our CRM. We've got a few different customers leveraging that same solution. And when I say customer, I mean business units within the church. I'll kind of skim through this. I think we're a little bit behind time on this. But Qualtrics is another one where we're leveraging that as a survey tool. It's a very robust enterprise survey tool that we're able to return data back from those surveys and execute on those results. And I'm pretty sure everybody in this room is familiar with SharePoint and its integration into CRM. And I think we're going to call that slide good.
Yep, that's great. So we've talked a little bit about what we're doing, right, in coalescing our CRM activities. We've created Jeremy is kind of humble about this, but he created an enterprise, really an industrial strength, multi-tenant environment that allowed us to provide these solutions to these 23 departments. And we talked about kind of how we're doing it with our integration strategy and our deployment strategy as well. But let's talk a little bit about why we do what we do as a church. Let me share with you actually a verse of scripture. We are a church, so I'm going to take the liberty, right? And it says, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in. This scriptural mandate is really what drives most of what we think are the coolest solutions that we've created, right? We have a little bit different impetus behind the solutions that we create. We use many of the same best practices, many of the same strategies, the same technologies, but our purpose is different. Our purpose is to make the world a better place for those around us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of those solutions now.
So to start off with, one of the solutions that we have built on CRM is what we call the Perpetual Education Fund, and we've actually been looking to rename that. I think we've Self-Reliance is, I think, the new name. But the Perpetual Education Fund, what that is a program that was set up for those in third world countries that didn't necessarily have the ability on their own to get a leg up. You know, they couldn't afford to take time away from work and family and those finances to go get trained, to go get a better job so that they could continue to work their way up and better their family's lives as well as the community. And so the Perpetual Education Fund said, great, why don't we find those who are out there in that situation who could use that that hand up, and they are able to go out to a vocational school and select the training. They put in the proposal and it gets approved, or they work through that, and then they request the loan, and we pay directly to that institution that loan, and so that tuition for them to attend the vocational school. They attend their training, they get their job. They're able to then, after the fact, pay back their loan, and sometimes it's no interest, sometimes it's very, very minimal interest, and once they pay that back, that goes back into the same fund that is then leveraged for another student. And so that's happening all over the world, and we've got 20,000 loans processed just this last year, and we've got about 3,000 CRM users, and that's spanning 90 countries. Helping to educate the developing world.
So we got another solution called the Transitional Services Office. 4 or 5 years ago, I got a call from the welfare department. They were telling me, hey, we've got a problem. We've got these small offices manned by senior volunteers, retired couples, whose responsibility is to help those who are in a transient situation, right? They're transitional. They've lost their job. They've lost their home. They may be living in their car. These offices were primarily along the I-15 corridor, so from the Idaho area all the way down through Arizona, southern Utah, into California. About a dozen of these offices, they had independent access databases, and they've been functioning this way for years. A couple of challenges they were running into, right? They were trying to get reporting information. They wanted to understand who they were serving, how they were serving them, how much it was costing the church to provide the services, and because we are really more of a hand-up than a handout type of organization, right? What type of services in exchange were provided, say, for that bus ticket, right? Or, say, for the motel room, for the week, for the family? And so there was kind of this work for value that was also being tracked. Well, it was done in a very independent, siloed way, about a dozen access databases, which were becoming very old, were becoming very corrupted on a regular basis, and they were just losing data. They also had a suspicion that there was probably quite a bit of fraud that was taking place, as several of these offices were probably 20 to 25 miles apart from each other. So they asked us to build them a CRM. And so we were able to do that pretty quickly at a very inexpensive price. And what we discovered very soon after deploying these solutions along this I-15 corridor was that not only was there a little bit of fraud taking place, but it was probably actually accounting for about 30% of the overall services that were being provided. They had what we were terming as frequent flyers who would go from office to office to office and were essentially gaming the system. And so we were able to cut that fraud out, provide services to those who were truly in need, and also provide a manner in which the welfare department could actually report back up to management, right, up to those who were responsible for running these programs, an understanding of how many people were being truly helped. This is less than 100, maybe 150 users across a 300 or 400 mile kind of span of the freeway, and they're servicing nearly 30,000 people annually, providing, like I said, anywhere from motel, paying the motel bill, say, for a week for the family, making sure that they've got food to feed the family in a short-term basis, as well as providing bus tickets home, or even working with some of the homeless shelters and soup kitchens, right? We have strong relationships with those along this corridor as well. And we were able to, in a very quick manner, in about 6 months, develop this system, roll it out, get rid of a ton of fraud, provide a lot of actionable data, and help the welfare department understand how they could improve their services so they could reach more people quickly.
So we also have, I mentioned the schools earlier, we've got our seminaries and institutes that are also educational focused, but not necessarily at the BYUs. So we've got a seminary program that starts with about the ninth grade, their freshman year in high school, sometimes middle school, and that program is an hour a day for those for the youth, and it's a seminary program where they're learning religious doctrine. And then as they move into college, that's the institute program, and you'll find that at any college throughout the U.S. and throughout the world. And what happens is students are moving all over the place, different dorm, different, living with parents, living with uncles, living with who knows where. And it is extremely difficult to keep track of who's where, why, and everything else. So Sean mentioned earlier, we've got a system called our church membership information system. As they move around, their membership records move with them. And once that happens, then we're able to give the instructors and the managers of the seminaries and institutes programs visibility into who should be attending those classes in that area. And so they can reach out to them if they're not attending and say, hey, let's bring you back in. Go ahead and zip forward here.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Bishop's Portal. This is a solution we're actually rolling out next week. We're super excited about it. This is a system that will have 120,000 users by the end of 2017. So this is a very aggressive project. This will be covering, by the end of next year, all of North and South America, and by the end of 2018, it will be a global solution. This eventually will move to CRM Online. We weren't able to actually build it on CRM Online initially because of the 50,000 user limit that they currently ran into. So we've designed and developed it, and we'll be releasing it CRM on-prem initially, looking to move it online as soon as we possibly can. The purpose of this solution is to feed the hungry. Remember, I read that scripture, and this is about kind of lightening one another's burdens. So this is part of that mandate, right? Primarily, this is focused primarily, right, on providing these services to these bishop storehouses, which contain essentially anything that you can buy in a grocery store today, as well as many household and clothing products, to make sure that families who are in need, who may find themselves in situations beyond their control, the ability to sustain life, right, so they can take care of the basics. When the basics are taken care of, then they can look to taking care of the rest, right? To finding a new job or finding greater employment or changing employment or getting that education with that perpetual education fund, whatever that might be. This is a big project, and we're actually going to demo this one for you in a couple of minutes.
So the other another one we want to talk to is the Elias Philanthropies. So that the Elias Philanthropies is mandate, thank you, is to reach out and gather or collect all of the philanthropic efforts. So if someone's donating something, it comes in through them as the front door. If there's a relief effort that needs to happen, they are kind of the conduit to make sure that they've got the right organization around getting resources pushed back out the other direction. They focus on areas from emergency response, refugee relief initiatives, maternal and newborn care, wheelchairs, clean water and sanitation efforts, vision care, immunization, sustainable food initiatives, for the family, and then as well as community projects, wells, schools, etc. There are so many things that they are focused on. That they are a massive effort, and the CRM that we've built for them enables them to track who has donated what, what efforts are being done, where are we going to, what is the right thing to do moving forward. That all of those things are being tracked and managed in that CRM.
The next one we want to talk about is the Global Visa Management Solution. I told you a couple of minutes ago about the 75,000 young men and young women that we have scattered all around the world, right? So with that scattering around the world, we've got a lot of visas, a lot of travel documentation that needs to be appropriately processed. That's all done kind of through a central travel department here at the church. And so given current geopolitical situations around the world, that can oftentimes be very fluid as to what is needed, when visas need to be updated, when travel documentation or visas need to be rerouted through different countries other than they have historically been. There's a lot of moving parts to this. This was done in an old Oracle system years ago, and it's become kind of top heavy. It's starting to fall apart. We've been working with the travel department over the last year and a half. We have built a solution which was kind of more focused around employees and the general authorities who also fly around and minister around the world. We've proven the model. We are now extending that now to the 75,000 missionaries. And again, remember, this is a constant churning constituency, right? These are kids who are coming in thousands a month and leaving thousands a month. And so the documentation is constantly evolving. Geopolitical situations are constantly changing, and so the workflows and the tasks that are associated with them are constantly fluid. CRM was a perfect solution that would allow us to synchronize with that MMS system, that missionary system, so that we knew who was being called, and based on the call and the dates that they were intended to basically turn into the field or arrive in the field and begin to serve their missions, we would then initiate the documentation process. And we would follow those kids through their entire 18-month to two-year mission when it came to initial documents, travel documents, tickets, visas, et cetera, into perhaps Utah or any of the other missionary training centers we have around the world, to even those who were going not from the United States, say to Argentina, or the kid from Argentina who's going to be serving in Taiwan, who may be going through and being trained in Utah. And so all of those moving parts are actually being facilitated by this CRM solution here.
So the next one I'll just touch on briefly, because we're going to do a demo of this one as well, is our IMOS, which is short for Internet Mission Office System. And that is the system that is used to manage each of the individual missions that these missionaries are going out to. Those are usually defined to a geographic area. So they had a system in place today where it was kind of getting difficult to maintain and manage, but there was a single sore spot that was really kind of a pain for them. And rather than go through the expense of replacing the entire application, why not just fix that one part? And so what we did is, rather than them go through and perpetuate additional cost towards a legacy system that they really didn't want to go develop against, we built integrated into their application. They access their entire app via a portal, and they go to the correspondence piece, which is the pain point, and boom, they're in CRM, and they don't even know it. There's a new correspondence piece that just works great for them. So we're going to demo right. That in a minute. Go ahead.
So there's 450 missions all around the world in about 160 countries. So there's a lot of logistics associated, and therefore a lot of communication that takes place. So from that central office, the correspondence is generated either for the missionaries themselves, typically via email. Every missionary who comes into the field receives actually a Gmail-based email box that will become their email box to talk to or to communicate with their family, as well as the mission hierarchy or leadership. And so when communications that necessitate, say, a change in companionship or a change in the area or service that they are currently in takes place, these communications, these emails, are all generated through this IMOS system. Additionally, because the missionaries are not able to go home for those 2 years, aren't able to call home except for on Christmas and Mother's Day. Dads get left out. There's only way they're going to be able to communicate is actually through email. And that's also the way that the mission leadership communicates with the parents and with their local ecclesiastical authorities, what we call the bishops and the stake presidents, who run those local congregations that are spread across the world. And so this system will generate those emails, and we'll show you that it's a template-based solution that allows us to pull in data slugs that allow us then to generate data which is specific, it's customized to the profile or data elements associated, say, with a birthday or an advancement or a change that go to mom and dad. I let them know that Skippy's doing fine, Skippy's moved to a new area, or Skippy's received a change of assignment, got a new promotion or something of that nature, to letting their local ecclesiastical authorities understand that Skippy's coming home in 6 weeks and you need to be prepared to receive him. Right? Or Sally's coming home and we need to make sure that she's ready to go to college because the new semester is getting ready to start and we want to make sure that there's a smooth transition. So this system was designed to do that. And if there is no email address available, then the system will then actually do a mail merge in with Word and spit out a snail mail letter and gives the mission homes the ability to generate a mailing labels to slap on those envelopes and send them out all from a single system. So it's pretty cool.
So as we move forward, we're running a little bit behind on our schedule. We expected we'd be a lot faster rattling through some of this, but apparently we're a lot more long-winded than we thought we would be. But we'd like to demo a whole bunch of stuff, but we're going to just demo two items. So first off, that Sean mentioned earlier, we're going to demo the Bishop's Storehouse Portal. That was the one we were talking to earlier where somebody comes in and they've run into a situation where they need financial assistance. I'm going to let Sean talk to kind of the purpose of the portal, and then I'll kind of talk to the technical and some of the other pieces of that. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Jeremy. So going back to that scriptural mandate, one of the things as disciples of Jesus Christ that we're responsible for doing is making sure that we take care of each other, right? And one of the plans, one of the programs that the church has put in place to help members of those local congregations take care of one another is a bishop's storehouse. There's about 69 of them across the United States. Where bishop's storehouses are not in place, the church has created strategic relationships, say, with Walmarts in those areas. Or if that's not a potential, then goods and serviceable goods from those storehouses can be shipped to the local chapels and be picked up by the members. But here's the way it works today. So if you got the Smith family who runs into some hard times, and let's say they're either underemployed or unemployed, they can't feed their family, they can come to their local bishop, that ecclesiastical authority who runs that local congregation, meet with him and determine the needs. Today, the way that works is there's a paper form. The bishop sits down with Mr. and Mrs. Smith and says, "How can I help? What can we do to help make ends meet so that you can take care of your family or take care of finding a new job or get an education, whatever that might be?" So they'll sit down with the bishop and they'll fill out a paper form. Now this paper form is basically a list of everything that is available in that bishop's storehouse. The bishop's storehouse has goods that have been created or farmed or produced by church farms, church ranches, or the manufacturing facilities that the church owns. But as soon as this is printed, it's stale. And oftentimes, a family will take two of the three copies that they get from the bishop to the storehouse to be fulfilled, and they'll discover that what they've ordered isn't available for them. Now, the way this works is that when the bishop sits down with the family and kind of goes over the needs, he'll find a trusted member of that congregation, typically a woman in the ward known as the Relief Society president, who is responsible for helping out with things of this nature. And they'll actually go through the cupboards and sit down with Mrs. Smith and make a shopping list. And again, that shopping list on this printed form is stale as soon as it's sent to that ecclesiastical authority. Most of the time it works just great, but oftentimes it doesn't. And it causes problems. It causes waste, and it causes delays in actually receiving services. So what we have done is essentially provided a method or a methodology that will allow this to be completely digitized today, to get rid of the paper form, to make sure that what the Relief Society president has available to talk to Mrs. Smith about getting to feed her family is truly what's going to be able to be picked up at that bishop's storehouse.
So to speak to that, we were, before I get into that, I want to talk to a meeting we had with one of the departments, and they said, wow, you built that and that user base is using it? He was talking about CRM, and he was calling it ugly. He was calling our baby ugly. I didn't like that very much. But I knew we could do something different, better, and we decided that, you know what, we were in the middle of working with a particular project. This is one that actually is going to be member-facing and needs to actually look nicer, and the business requirements really said it needs to be seamless and fit right in with the rest of the portal experience they're already used to, and single sign-on is obviously an issue. So if I can switch over to the screen, and are we seeing my laptop? That is a no. 7. How about that one?
Yay.
So what you're looking at here is CRM. This is 100% in CRM. There's no portal sitting in front of this. There's no additional servers. This page is 100% inside of CRM. The bar up at the top, let me see if I can do this. So up here at the top where you've got the church logo, the leader and clerk resources, the name, that blue bar, that gray bar, that is 100% consumed external to CRM. We pull that in, and then the rest of it below that is all CRM. This is a form that we've, it's actually a web resource in CRM that we've got running, and you can actually go in here and move around and manage what needs to happen. Again, all within CRM. So these tabs.
Real quick, yeah, I wanted to talk about the reason we actually built that web resource in CRM.
That's a really good point. Yep. So the reason we built that web resource in CRM is the user base are the members, and we needed all of the richness of the CRM that is wrapped, all the security model, all the features and functionality that CRM provides for a user out of the box was what we needed to provide to the membership who are coming in and using this application. Yeah. And so leveraging a portal, we would be reinventing all of the things that already came out of the box with CRM. ADX Studio, for example, is one of the solutions that we use as a portal. Now that Microsoft's bought them, they're making that part of the portals play. But that is meant for a lightweight
contact
type entity profile coming in. And that is not their richness. We really needed the full security model around this so that we could actually report correctly, expose the right data correctly, share data pieces. All of that was a necessity. And so we've built that in the CRM.
Right. One additional point is that when a bishop comes into that portal, they're only going to see information regarding services that help them in their ministry that's related to their geographical area. So not only are they going to see just information regarding their particular congregation, but they're also going to see services that may help with social-emotional counseling or other offices that are available, such as the Bishop's Storehouse, that is relevant geographically to them. Again, perfect play for the CRM with the roles-based security and being able to filter or segment the data that's only relevant to the way that they need to participate so that not everyone is seeing everybody's everythings, right?
So as I come into this, this is what this is the old order form right here, right? Piece of paper in triplicate. Who does triplicate anymore? Really? White, yellow, canary, really? So we now have a form. Now I've got this set up as a out-of-unit person who is being serviced. I didn't want to actually expose the data of the PII of all of my congregation at home. I'm sure all of them appreciate that, as well as my management. Joe Hungry here has a household of four. I've put in his address. Had he actually been from our from the drop-down, his cell phone number, email address would have been put in here. And Sally Smith, you see her email actually came in and was pre-populated automatically. I can choose whether or not I want to have an email go out to them and or a text message go out to the recipient or to the preparer. And this preparer is the one that Sean had mentioned earlier as the person who's going to go out to their home, meet with them, and see how can we best serve them and what are their needs. And as we come down here, this is the section of all of the different things that are pretty fluid on what is available in the local storehouse. So this is dynamic, is updated I believe it's a nightly basis. It might be even more frequent than that. And
it's tied to the church's AX system.
It is a direct load from AX, right, so that we know what is available at that storehouse. So canned meats, if they run out of canned meats, that's going to drop off, right? Those beef chunks, they run out of beef chunks, I can't get six of them, right? That's there in the system and is what it is. So one thing I wanted to demonstrate is if I take this and I drop it out of full screen mode, it's also a responsive form. So if they want to take this on their phone or their tablet, they can go out and, let me try that again. There's the wallpaper. They can go out and use their device, and it will automatically resize and is very responsive for them to use all of that. Again, 100% in CRM.
We anticipate actually that the bishop may initiate you know, the helping of the family on a laptop that he's got in his office meeting with Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He's then going to assign a trusted person in that congregation, that Relief Society president, to do that. She's going to walk in with her phone or with her tablet, and she's going to be able to see the very same form, the very same session that was initiated by the bishop with the family at home or in the office, now at home on her tablet. When this form is processed, when the order is being processed, then what'll happen is actually the person who is working at the bishop's storehouse will pick it up on their tablet and be able to check off all the items that they're actually putting into the grocery cart. All of this taking place real time in a responsive way soon, right? The next phase of this project will be mobile and offline as we move to a kind of a global deployment strategy. I say we go ahead and skip Bishop's Portal since we got 3 minutes.
So
let's go to our... No, yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
Okay. So
let's just skip that.
We were going to demo this one. We're going to skip that. Let's go ahead and talk about the things that you're probably most interested in, our lessons learned and our pain points. We don't go and do all of this. That was probably really great English. You don't do all of this and not have a few lessons learned and a few pain points. We've learned a lot of stuff. So to talk to some of that, don't over-customize. That is an area that will get you in trouble every time. We've got to the slide here one solution that has 160 plus plugins.
Now, to our defense, this was not a solution that the Center of Excellence built. This is one that we've inherited and that we're trying to help with the department actually launch. But 160 plugins, and they're worried about performance.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Configuration beats coding every time. Now, that's kind of a no-brainer. That's kind of the point of CRM. But this statement came from our lead developer. This was his statement. If your developer's telling you configuration beats coding, it's probably the right answer. Data integrations and data migrations, These are what kill a project and the budget.
Yep.
Timelines and budget will just anticipate that your data is going to be terrible. Anticipate that the person who knew what was under the hood left employment years ago and you're on your own. Good luck. Oh, and that schema? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense either. The other one is, don't use CRM. When I got that, I reached out to the team and said, hey, what are some of the lessons learned? You know, one of the responses I got back was, don't use CRM. Okay. The point is, not everything is a good fit to be built in CRM. Even though it's a great application platform and it brings a ton of value, it's not always the right answer. And we recognize that, and we've tried to steer our customers away, you know, our business units away from using CRM when it doesn't make sense.
There are many times where we'll actually turn down business, turn down projects or opportunities because the CRM is not a good fit. There are better solutions for them from other parts of Microsoft or other vendors that we can then integrate into later.
So, just to skim through this one here, incorrect assumptions moving into CRM online. I made a lot of incorrect assumptions. I've got my premier field engineer from Microsoft sitting here in the front row and realizing, you know, recognizing every time he kept telling me, yeah, don't make that assumption. I made that assumption, right? User management, yeah, just like on-premise, you're gonna go in, you add the user ID in there, and you call it good. Oh, no, that's managed completely differently now. So all of these things on the migration are just little things that, oh, how am I gonna do that? How am I gonna do this? And so.
Well, that's not very subtle, is it?
No, that's definitely not subtle.
The trap door is about to open.
So let me make sure I've got all of these up here for you. Let me back up one slide. There we go. So understanding of CRM outside of our team, we have found it very, very essential to make sure key infrastructure players also understand what CRM is and how it is being used and how it factors in to everything else in the environment. Office 365, we've got people who don't realize that the decisions that are made in the tenancy really still matter for CRM and how that's going to affect us. User provisioning and management, we'll leave that there. So we're out of time, but we're available for Q&A. If you want to just catch us either on the side or wherever, feel free to ask us whatever questions.
Thank you for your time, folks. We really appreciate you giving us an opportunity to share with you what we've been doing.